Just take your Bibles and turn with me in them to the book of Psalms. Psalm 1 is found on page 568 in the Pew Bibles. We'll read that entire psalm, then we'll turn to Matthew as we continue our series through that gospel account. After today, Lord willing, we'll take a brief pause in our Matthew series and spend time of the season. With Easter approaching, Good Friday, we'll have a number of sermons related to that event, leading up to it. Psalm 1. People of God, hear now the very words of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 7, found on page 1032. We'll begin reading at verse 7. Our focus, our text, will be on verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. As far as the reading of the Word of God. Congregation, perhaps, young people, maybe in your literature class, you remember a poem, a well-known poem, which speaks of two roads that diverge in a yellow wood. And the speaker, remember which road he takes? He takes the one less traveled by. And for him, that made all the difference. Life is filled with such options, such choices. Jesus brings before us this morning a choice also, but one with much more weightier outcome, eternal outcomes. There are only ultimately two options in life. Jesus calls us to follow him. And he does so by exhorting us to enter the narrower of two gates, to walk a hard way. It's what we consider first two gates. Two gates. Jesus speaks here of two gates. Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. There is a narrow gate and there is a wide gate. And you can choose only one. It's one or the other. There are only two options. And although we are faced with many decisions every day of our lives, it appears that Jesus here sets before us a more fundamental choice, which undergirds and informs all those other choices, a fundamental choice. Once you enter this gate, once you are on this path, travel that way. Two gates, two ways. There is a hard way or road, and there is an easy road. And you can travel only one, just like the gates. It's one or the other. These are the two options. Now, whether the gate leads to the way or the way leads to the gate, at that point, Jesus doesn't make clear, and it's not all that important to his point, his teaching. What matters is they're linked. They're connected. The narrow gate and the hard way. The wide gate, the easy way. And what will it be for you, congregation? Will it be the narrow gate or will it be the wide gate? Will it be the hard way? Will it be the easy way? Now, before you answer these questions, let's consider, well, what does Jesus mean by that? Or until we meditate and the meaning of these gates, these ways, we really don't know the options before us. Our Pew Bibles bring out the wording well. You can see that narrow appears in verse 13 and 14. Those are different than the word that appears for hard in verse 14. Some translations don't make that distinction. Thankfully, our Pew Bible does. The word narrow, verses 13 and 14, it means just that, narrow, not wide. The word hard in verse 14, it's related to words that elsewhere we translate as affliction, trouble, even persecution. The narrow gate, the hard way, mean it's not easy to pass through. It's not easy, fun, perhaps, to walk along. There's not room to pass through with little thought, to move with awkward movements. It's as though, think if you're driving a large pickup truck. You're trying to fit it into a small garage. You've got to be careful. You have to watch the mirrors, the posts. You can't go too far, too off. Or say you're driving that truck through a construction zone. You've got the concrete barriers either way. You've got to focus. You've got to concentrate. You can't waver. Bad things happen if you do. It's different than if you're in a compact car trying to fit into a parking garage. A compact car driving down a 6-lane highway. That takes nothing. There's plenty of room. There are two gates. There are two roads. There's the narrow and the wide. So gate, way, road, what's he talking about? Well, obviously Jesus is not instructing about earthly doors or ways. He's talking about spiritual realities. Now, to determine Jesus' meaning, because he does not clearly explain it and state it here himself, we need to consider the context, this Sermon on the Mount. What has Jesus been talking about? Righteousness. The righteousness required to enter into the kingdom of heaven, which is the same righteousness that ought to characterize those who are in the kingdom of heaven, who live as citizens of that kingdom. It's righteousness that the Pharisees and scribes, the Jewish religious leaders, they lacked, they got wrong. Although Jesus speaks separately of the gate and the way, again, one cannot separate the gate from the way. The gate is narrow, hard is the way. The gate is wide, easy is the way. The one matches and corresponds with the other. And the narrow gate, the hard way, both refer to the Christian life. The life that one leads as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, the life of one who is marching to Zion, a pilgrim to the city of God. Some have thought that the way refers to the Christian life and the gate refers to entering heaven through Jesus upon death. And that way of thinking, you'd walk the road and then enter the gate, the end of the road. Others have said, well, no, the narrow gate refers to conversion and the narrow road to sanctification. The gate refers to the initial decision by God's grace through the working of the Spirit. Some then say you enter the gate and then walk on the road. It's probably best just to understand the gate and the way to be, as one commentator said, the difficult choice for Jesus. And the constantly challenging decisions for discipleship to him. The difficult choice for Jesus and the constantly challenging decisions for discipleship to him. We must not understand this teaching apart from the one who is talking, apart from the one who called himself the gate, the door, as well as the way, the truth, the life. Now, the wide gate, the easy way, It's a life that someone lives according to the teaching of this world, that which the world declares to be right and good. Think back to Psalm 1 that we read and the way of sinners. It's the same word, the way. Way of sinners there, the way here. And after Adam's fall into sin, that is the natural path. Every human being by nature travels upon that wide way. And it is easy. It's easy. That's our bent. Oh, it might result in problems in this life sometimes, certainly afterward, but it comes naturally to us. It doesn't take a lot of consideration, doesn't take a lot of care. It's following the teachings of men, following the crowd. In Jesus' day, it was following the pagans, the Romans, the Greeks, the Gentiles, but also it was following the Pharisees and scribes. Now, following the Pharisees and scribes, that might seem like a harder life. But really, it wasn't all that much harder than the pagans. Because it could be done in your own strength. Your own power. Oh, it might not have been rushing headlong into passionate lust as the heathen. But living like the Pharisees was something an unregenerate person could do. All the paths of men are ultimately that easy path. Entering the wide gate, the narrow gate, the hard way, the hard path, those are being a disciple of Jesus. It's living according to his teaching of what defines righteousness. It is, in one sense, a very strict life, stricter than the Pharisees, because it demands more than outward conformance. Demands more than just checking off boxes of some code of appearing. It demands your heart. Total commitment to God, complete love for neighbor, even for your enemy. As we read in verse 12, whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. For that's the law and the prophets. That's hard. It is that which conforms perfectly, completely, always to perfect love toward God, perfect love toward neighbor, with all your being in every situation. Walking through this gate, traveling on this hard way, a people will call you narrow-minded, exclusive. In a later part of the gospel account here, when Jesus teaches on divorce, you know, bringing up some of the same teaching he has here in this sermon, but a different setting, his disciples will hear that. And his own disciples remarked, this is hard to accept. Better that a man not marry. Before Adam's fall into sin, this good path was the natural path. Sin has caused it to be narrow and hard. Adam's descendants naturally follow on the wide, the easy path. The Jews in Jesus' day might have thought the antithesis was between Roman paganism and Judaism. But from Jesus' teaching here and throughout this sermon, it's more than just outward religion. It's the kingdoms of this world versus the kingdom of heaven. It's the first Adam or the second Adam. It's the way of the wicked or the way of the righteous, as Psalm 1 makes clear. You can't use an earthly measure to determine the width of these gates, these ways. You must use the standard of the Word of God. And the Pharisees might have thought their way was narrow. Their way was hard. Closely monitored one's outward behavior to demand conformity to their law, their regulations. But they had no idea how narrow the way actually is, how hard it is. Even the Pharisee is on the broad way, easy way to destruction. The way of Christ is rigorous. There's no denying that. In congregation, I would be an unfaithful pastor if I sugarcoated the way of righteousness that leads to heaven, if I would tell you it's any less strict than what Jesus teaches it to be here. The Pharisees did not enter through the narrow gate. It was too narrow. They walked on the easy path. But this path is hard. It's a life of perfection. That's the righteousness God requires. Not only one moment of virtue or a few years of outward goodness. It is a life that is perfect without any sin, without any stain. There is only one person who has personally enter that narrow gate, who has himself walked on that narrow and hard road all the way to life. And that person is Jesus. Jesus is God himself who took upon himself our nature. And in that nature, he lived a perfectly obedient, righteous life. And as man, as human, he offered that perfect life himself up in obedience to God to suffer and die the penalty sinners deserve. As we heard in our declaration of pardon, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Without wavering, without getting sidetracked, without one speck of sin, Christ walked that. The way that Christ commands here is so narrow, only he has done it personally. I have not obeyed this way. You have not obeyed in this way. No other human than Jesus has obeyed perfectly. No one in themselves has walked the narrow gate, the hard path, all the way. But Jesus has. And that he has done that, who he is, what he has done, I proclaim to you. So that by God's grace, you and I find this narrow gate. It's revealed by God's Spirit. It's not found by our works. It's not found by our piety, our righteousness. It's by faith alone in Jesus, being found in him alone. Trust him always. And read through the Sermon on the Mount again. Consider again the Ten Commandments that we read every week, the summary of the law. Not one of us has kept it. No, not one. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But here's the amazing thing. Here's grace. The Lord has laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Jesus has entered the narrow gate. He has walked the hard way in our place for us. It's something you and I do not do by nature. And yet, because Christ has done it for us, he speaks not of himself here, but he gives a command to followers, enter the narrow gate. Jesus calls us to follow him. And that shows there are two groups here about which Jesus is speaking. And we move to that in our second point. There are two groups. Jesus speaks of the many who enter. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, the way of the easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. And he speaks of the few. For the gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Many, few. That's Jesus' statement, comparing the relative number of those on the easy path and the hard path as many to few. Brothers and sisters, the majority is often wrong. The majority is wrong, spiritually speaking. Jesus teaches that here. It's not simply a contrarian way of investing. It's realizing the reality of living in a fallen world in which we live. It's understanding the perfect righteousness required to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then realizing each and every human being, except for Jesus, falls short from the moment of our conception. Jesus speaks of persons other than himself here. He speaks of the few. The few find. What marks those few off from the many? Will you be part of the few or the many? It's not because of any virtue in ourselves. It's because you belong to Jesus. The gate is narrow, but being joined to Jesus, you enter through it. The gate is hard to find, but being joined to Jesus, you enter through it. The few. Those are the ones God has chosen, the elect, the ones for whom Jesus died, the ones whom the Holy Spirit regenerates. Because of God's work in our lives, the few are those who repent of their sins, who follow Jesus. Followers of Jesus. Jesus does something wonderful in our lives. He fills us with His Spirit. And by the Spirit's work in our hearts and lives, Jesus causes us to walk along that hard way that leads to life. Jesus causes the difference to exist between the many who are headed to destruction and the few who partake of life eternal. And Jesus empowers you to walk down that way. He does not abandon you on that narrow way. He is with you always, even to the end of the age. He's continually ruling and guiding you by His Word and Spirit to keep you and me on this narrow road. So we enter into life eternal, not by our works, but Christ's work received through faith. He's even given us a down payment of this inheritance. It's the Holy Spirit. It's one reason Jesus gives us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, so He would nourish us unto eternal life, so that we believers have our faith strengthened as we walk along this path, empowered to walk along it. We can't do it in our strength. He strengthens us. Jesus does not abandon you. He said the majority is wrong spiritually. Does that mean we withdraw from the world? Forming our own little community and abiding with it. No, we have the fellowship of the saints, but God calls us to go out into the world and testify to Jesus within it. So what then does this mean for us? Well, be discerning. Test the spirits around you to see if they are in accord with the Holy Spirit or the spirit of this age. The evil one who has deceived so many in the world. It means we must realize the antithesis. There are two groups. There is a divide between these groups. It means we don't adopt the thinking, the values, the worldview of the majority. Young people, there are times when you want so much to fit in with others. When you don't want to stand out. I get it. I know. I've been there. We all have. We still are. I'm the oldest among us. And you don't want to be thought of as odd. And you're tempted to follow. To do what they are doing, even though you know it's not the way of righteousness. You're tempted during those times. What do? Remember Jesus' teaching here. Narrow is the gate. Hard is the way. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that you'll stand out. That you may even be persecuted for your faith. The many are on the wrong way, which leads to destruction. Jesus calls you. Follow Him. Follow me. Enter through the narrow gate. Just because living rightly is hard doesn't mean it's wrong. Instead, in one sense, we should expect it to be difficult. But can so many people be wrong? Brothers and sisters, Jesus Himself teaches here, the many enter through the wide gate and are traveling down the easy road to destruction. Yes. So many are wrong spiritually. We're not talking economically, politically. We're not talking with regard to being a fan of a sports team. We're talking eternal, weighty, spiritual matters. Unfortunately, so many, sadly, so many are wrong. But that doesn't mean that every minority view is correct. There are lots of minority views that are also wrong. You see, people get into their little groups and their echo chambers, as the phrase goes, and they're just as wrong as the majority. The Gentiles were wrong and the Pharisees were wrong. So what does that matter for us? To whom are you listening to? Television, radio, YouTube, TikTok? How do those survive? Whatever end of the spectrum they are, by mass numbers of people. Whether the majority of the population or even a minority, a large group of minority. Now, certainly, again, we can participate in the activities of society. Those aren't in and of themselves wrong. But we do so for different reasons, different perspectives, a whole different reality. To live a Christian life, whether as a son or daughter, a man or woman, a father or mother, is to walk a hard road. Dig into the Word of God. Read it, know it, study it, be in prayer over it, live it. Few are on the hard way. Few are true followers of Jesus. Now, we ought not to take pride in that as though it's anything in us. It's humbling. It's incredibly humbling. Because there's nothing in me personally that differs from anyone else. It's all God's grace. It's all God's work. It's God's Word. It's God's Spirit. It's God's Son. And we ought to mourn for those who are on the easy way, the easy road, the easy path. Because it leads to destruction. And that's what we consider in our third point. There are two goals, two gates, two destinations. Destruction and life. Now, Jesus isn't teaching anything new here. He's simply stating what's been found throughout the Bible. We read in Psalm 1, verse 6, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." That word, again, that word way, comes up a few times in Psalm 1. It's the same as what Matthew uses here. The wide gate, the easy way. They might be easier to travel, in a sense. We might have more companions on the road. But the end is destruction. Now, Jesus doesn't mean annihilation. He means what throughout the Bible he talks about as eternal death. A conscious existence of torment for eternity. It's punishment for one's sins. It's obvious that some people are headed to destruction. The unrepentant alcoholic or drug user or prostitute. The obvious sinners that, oh, those are safe sins to call out. It would have clearly been knowing like the indulgent Romans and Gentiles of Jesus' time. Of course, they're headed to destruction. But for many others, their end also. Successful businessmen, popular celebrity, an outwardly religious father or mother. In Jesus' time, that would have included the Pharisees. Outward conformity to some standard doesn't save one from destruction. And for some, they realize and they embrace that they're headed there. They seek to live it up here. They mistakenly think, well, at least I'll be with my friends there in hell. Many others, though, are self-deceived. At one level, they know they're headed for destruction. But they deceive themselves like Pharisees into thinking, I'm okay. They close their minds to the biblical truth about sin, about the wretchedness of human nature, and they're enjoying the present way, the present company. They don't want to change or repent. They want what they want. And don't confuse them. Don't try to change their mind. They want it. They're after it. They don't want to give up control. They don't want to walk in that different path. Their end, too, is destruction. And friend, if that describes you, you are warned. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Proverbs talks about that. So long as one remains in that way, that life of sin, life apart from trusting in Jesus, you are headed to destruction. The end is destruction. Heed the command of Christ. Enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate. Easy is the way that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Turn away from yourself. Turn to Jesus. The narrow gate that is so hard to find has been declared to you, revealed to you who Jesus is, what he has done. There is forgiveness of sins. Whatever sin that is, whenever it is, trust him. For us who have trusted and are trusting, the narrow gate, the hard way, they're hard to travel at times. You and I, we have to battle with our sinful flesh, the hostile world, the angry devil. It's hard to find companions at times. But the end of that hard path, after the narrow gate, it's life. It's dwelling with God, righteousness, peace, joy. It's living without sorrow, without pain, without sin forevermore. It's living in a renewed earth. Being in the presence of God to glorify and praise him forever. Now, we have a taste of that now. In John's gospel, Jesus says, "This is life, to know the only God and Jesus Christ whom he sent." We have the Spirit living within us. We have brothers and sisters. Stay focused on Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. He is the author. He is the perfecter of your faith. Do not turn aside to the right or the left. Don't put your trust in yourself, in other men or women, in dead saints, even the Virgin Mary. But in Christ, keep focused on the goal. Enter through the narrow gate. This is the call of your Lord, my Lord. It's not just a precept of law. It is His call. It's the call of the living Jesus. Enter. Walk on that way. He calls you by His word. He empowers you by His Spirit. And we come to the table of the Lord this morning seeking life in Christ alone. And He gives it. He nourishes you. It's not just possible. It's not just for others. Believer, it's for you. Come to the table. Remember and believe. Be strengthened to live for Jesus. We've heard the righteousness of the Sermon on the Mount. We've heard the righteousness required to enter the kingdom of heaven. And living out that righteousness, receive Christ's Spirit. Receive Christ's righteousness. Follow in His steps. Live out that righteousness. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The way of Christ leads to life, abundant life, eternal life. Enter, come, taste and see the Lord is good, and be blessed. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we confess in ourselves, through that wide gate, that easy way that leads to destruction, we're part of the many. But Lord, You have made a change. You have brought us out. You call us to enter, to trust You, to live according to the power of Your Spirit, to Your Word, to live by faith and not by sight. Grant that to us, Lord. It is too hard for us in ourselves, but You give us that strength, that grace. We hear it proclaimed in the gospel. I look forward to partaking of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and being nourished. Strengthen us, Lord. Lead us to life. Bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.